Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Well, Democrats are freaking out about a lot of things, but they're not going to be able to freak out about Trump running for a third term much longer, since he said he's not going to run for a third term. But I'm sure they'll find a way. Welcome back. This is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where we will be live this coming Friday. So 2 days from today, Halloween, our Halloween spectacular show at the Grand Hotel. 50% off your room if you want to stay over Friday night, 50% off Saturday night, no minimum stay required. And either way, come out and join us for the show, 3 to 7 p.m. live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, grandhotelcapemay.com. Bill DeAgostino is the Media Research Center guy who comes on the show with us. He's on X at @band_Bill, and he is the undisputed master of putting together compilations that are on social media, and it's great to have him join us today. Bill, what's going on?
I'm pumped, man. CNN Live Access finally came out. I'm sure you've been celebrating, too.
I have been doing a candlelight vigil, waiting for it, so this is good. I can blow out the candles now.
Yeah. Only what, like 34 more days or something until it beats CNN Plus's duration? So that's good. We've got our fingers crossed over here. I'm not going to be watching any of it because even I have too much of a life for that. But hey, I'm really excited for them. I wish them well.
I got to be honest with you and plead ignorance here. What the hell is CNN Live Access?
That's exactly what I said when my boss told me that it launched today. It's apparently their live streaming like app. It's supposed to be. I think they're aiming for like cord cutters and like mobile news consumers. But it's like a companion app to their actual coverage. So I guess it's just CNN on your phone, but it's also going to have some other like little mini exclusive offerings, like some Anderson Cooper show dealing with grief. Which when I heard that, I was like, okay, how is this not just CNN Plus?
Right.
Because they had like an Anderson Cooper show about how to like raise kids or whatever. So it's once again, it's just CNN personalities doing non-newsy stuff, I guess. I don't know. It all sounds terrible. I desperately hope that they don't make anybody in my department watch it, because we need hazard pay for that.
You know, they might. It's very possible that they may say to you, listen, you know, you got to sit there and watch CNN Live Access, in which case then you might be able to file some sort of a suit for, I don't know, pain and suffering. I'm not sure. But so what's the over-under on it? CNN Plus lasted 34 days. Is that what the record was?
Something like that. It might have only been 31 days. It was something in the 30s. It was not longer than like a fruit fly's lifespan, but shorter than like a house fly.
That's I wish them all the best. I really do. The only thing saving CNN right now is Scott Jennings, because if it wasn't for Scott Jennings, I don't think anybody would be watching anything that they put out there. But Scott Jennings goes on there, blows them up, and then the clips go viral, and it's a wonderful thing. So he's literally keeping CNN alive right now.
Although, did you hear the news? They're apparently trying to poach him. I think it's one of the broadcast networks. It might be CBS, which if they steal him, I mean, that's going to kind of be a bummer, because I love watching Scott, you know, just shred Abby Phillips. But it's going to be bad for them, too. And that show is going to become, I mean, no shade to Shermichael Singleton or any of the other conservatives who routinely go on there. But it's just not going to be the same without Scott.
Yeah, no, it's true. So CBS wants to steal him, huh? Is that because now it's the Barry Weiss, and they were talking about trying to steal Brett Baer from Fox News, and they're trying to go in a different direction?
Yeah, I guess. I think kind of trying to, you know, fill out the non-liberal progressive ranks a little bit in the network. Brett Baer, I hadn't heard that one. That feels like that'd be expensive.
Yeah, well, he's already said no to that. I think they pay him something like $14 million a year, and he's locked into a contract till 2028. But he definitively said he's not going anywhere. I think if you're anyone at Fox News, you stay there. You don't leave to go to CBS, because right? I mean, even though they're trying to, but if you're Scott Jennings, that's different. If they throw, they back up the Brinks truck, go for it.
Yeah, for Scott, it's totally different. But especially with somebody like Baer, I mean, like, he's such a Fox veteran. He's kind of synonymous with the network at this point. So I can't see them ever wanting to get rid of him.
So we have some clips today from our buddy Bill DiAgostino, who's joining us. So you put together a compilation. I love your compilations, Bill. They're fantastic. So what?
Thanks,
tell us about this one.
Yeah, I'll admit this one's pretty stupid. I haven't put it out yet. This is, I guess you could
say,
the first live showing of this. But it's, have you ever noticed how when newscasters who, like, it's usually like somebody as lily white as I am, and they're speaking perfect American English, and then they say a Spanish person's name, they'll be like, oh yeah, so the suspect's name is 23-year-old Jose Ibarra. And you're like, wait, excuse me, what? They break into this faux Spanish accent that almost sounds like offensive. It's basically just a little litany of that, because I think this is becoming a problem and somebody needs to do something about it.
There was back when Saturday Night Live was funny. I can't find the skit. They took it down, but they did a skit about this years ago where they would say, would you like a burrito? Don't you mean a burrito? And it was like, hey, anybody want a taco? Don't you mean a taco? And it was just so funny. But of course, that was when they were funny. And so, good luck trying to find it. But well, let's take a listen to Bill's stupid clip that hasn't gone public yet. But this is be the inaugural showing. I love this. The debut right here on the show. Go ahead.
I have a name written down in my notebook, Andri Jose Hernandez Romero. He is a gay makeup artist from Venezuela.
The suspect, 23-year-old Victor Antonio Martinez Hernandez, a migrant from El Salvador.
I have been texting with the suspect's wife, Leilin Franco.
The first U.S. television interview with former ICE detainee, Andri Hernandez Romero.
One of the Venezuelan men who was sent to the Secot mega prison in El Salvador. His name is Andri Hernandez Romero.
Kilman Abreu Garcia has really become the face of the Trump administration's deportation. She will soon order officials to keep Kilman Abreu Garcia in the United States.
Jose Ibarra, 26-year-old migrant from Venezuela.
Well, Bad Bunny is awesome and loved in the Latino community. Many of his supporters, many Latinos.
Uncertain time for multiple museums right here in the country, including the National Museum of American Latino.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just,
I love that one, because it's she has a bit of like the Valley Girl like up talk at the end too. So she's like Latino, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
We can't just say Latino. Like, I mean, it's one thing to try to pronounce their name correctly, and it's another thing to do the rolling of the R's. It's another thing to just change your pitch and all that. But I mean, at the end of the day, can we not just say Latino? Like, I mean, why are we not breaking into Italian accents every time somebody brings up an Italian guy's name?
I was going to say, right? Like Geraldo Rivera, whose safe did he break into? Whose safe did he have?
Al Capone, eh?
Yeah, it was Al Capone's safe, right? I mean, I always talk about it.
Alfonso Capone, eh? It was, excuse me, Alfonso Capone, eh? I mean, isn't it sort of, I don't know, a little bit, like when a non-Latino does it, if we're using the left's playbook, isn't it kind of either stereotypical or something else? I'm sure there's got to be a foul we can call using their playbook and rule book, right?
I feel like there's got to be. Yeah, I mean, I have been told by a Latino friend of mine that God, it feels dirty even doing that.
It does. Like, it feels like you're mocking them. That's what it does. It sounds like you are mocking them by saying it that way. You know,
right? I mean, I have been told by a Guatemalan friend of mine that he said basically the best way for you to actually sound like a native Spanish speaker is to basically do what you would call like an almost offensive accent, like really lay it on thick and it'll sound more natural, because it shouldn't sound natural to you, because that's how it sounds in their language. So I don't know if there is somebody out there who has enough energy to get like deeply offended by all of these clips. But at the very least, it's incredibly stupid, especially when you are so obviously a native English speaker. Because again, I had to look up, to make that joke, I had to look up how to pronounce Al Capone, because I've never said that in my life, because why would I? I'm from Connecticut.
Right. But you are Italian. So, you know, D'Agostino. Yeah. And of course, how they pronounce things in Italy is different from how American Italians. Like, there's this great skit that the guys from The Sopranos put together where they have an Italian guy there. I don't know if you ever saw this or not, but it's Drea Di Matteo. I can't forget who the other actor is, but it's how do you say, and they had various different words. So, you know, mozzarella is one of them. And the guy from Italy is sitting there in the audience, right? And, you know, and it's and mozzarella. And the Italian from Italy is all offended by this, because, you know, how do you say marinara? Manad. And the Italian in the audience is like, that's not how you say it. Was hysterical. It was so funny. If you could find it on YouTube. But this is kind of like that. I mean, it's basically it's parody almost.
Yeah, why does our diaspora drop the last vowel on all
know.
Of the Italian words? Right, we say like it's you get all this mozzarella, and then you go to Italy and it's like mozzarella. You know,
it's mozzarella. Like they almost like overdo it in Italy, maybe just to spite us. I don't know, but I was corrected one time by my mother on pronouncing a word. Like you know, it's like they don't say gabagool over there. If you go over there and you try to order gabagool, they're gonna look at you like you're friggin' crazy. You know,
well, you know why? It's because they're all Italian. Gabagool is like an American dialect word. It's just people who happen to be of Italian extraction, but nothing in their Italian genes makes them pronounce it like that, right? It's being from around New Jersey.
Matt, see if you can find, I think it's called the Italian Spelling Bee on YouTube. See if you can pull that up for us at some point, because it's really funny. And now I need to go back and watch it again, especially now that Drea Di Matteo has been so outspoken about her politics the last several years. And I loved her when she was on The Sopranos, but right? COVID moved her in a very good direction.
Yeah, although like I also wasn't expecting like the conservative icon or whatever you want to call her coming out of The Sopranos to also be like doing OnlyFans. That was, that was equally surprising and a little bit more upsetting.
Well, times are tough, buddy. And if you can't get any work in Hollywood, you know, just saying how that goes. Now, Karine Jean-Pierre, things are not going well for Karine Jean-Pierre, because really, shouldn't we be doing this with French accent, you know, French names too? I'm just saying.
We should.
You know, she was eating some fromage, Karine Jean-Pierre, and I don't know if she had any. I can't even take myself seriously. This has been a disaster for her, this book tour. It really has. I mean, in all the book tours we've seen, this has got to be up there as one of the worst.
Yeah, it does. I think the only more egregious book tour that I can think of in my time at MRC, and it was egregious for a completely different reason, was James Comey's book tour. Like shortly after Trump fired him. And we actually did a study back then. Do you remember like all the thing about Russian prostitutes like micturating on each other. I'll use that term because I want to be polite. That was like included in Comey's book. And we did a study of how many times the phrase prostitutes peeing, like that actual phrase was uttered on like daytime news. And it was something like 44 times in 5 days. We titled the article Yellow Journalism, which I was
very good. Like that's a New York Post worthy headline right there. Well done.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah. Well, I mean, so Corrine's obviously it's not egregious in the same way, but you could tell it was going to be bad when you realized it was happening, right? Because it involves Corrine Jean-Pierre speaking in public, which is probably the thing she is least suited to do, despite having been a presidential press secretary. But yeah, I mean, the clip here speaks for itself.
I kept thinking, this is a person who needs media training, even though she was the White House press secretary and dealt with the press right. all the time. But it's kind of it's in some ways it's trying to be your own lawyer or your own coach. I mean, this is why even people who are lawyers get lawyers. She should have gotten media training for this, and she clearly was completely unprepared for this. I also don't think she is the brightest bulb in the store there. I've never thought that about her. Like, Jen Psaki's smart, I will say that. Her ability to lie and dance around things, and I mean, but she's smart, and Corrine Jean-Pierre is not, and that's just the fact, and I think it comes out here in this. And so let's do cut 44. This is her interview with MSNBC's Ayman Moy Yeldin, which we should be pronouncing in the correct whatever dialect, but I don't know what that dialect is. So cut 44,
Egyptian, I think, but
Egyptian. Yeah, I'm not even going to try to go there because I'd have to work on that. You know, I would need a dialect coach for that. So we'll just play it. Go ahead.
Corrine, do you have any regrets at all for anything that you said while you were speaking on behalf of this administration? It's a simple yes or no.
No. Because you're asking for a yes or no question. I want to put some context to it, too. I woke up every day very proud to be the White House press secretary. I woke up every day as a Black woman who is queer, no one had ever seen someone like me at that podium standing behind that lectern. It was an honor and a privilege to have that job. And I did it to the best of my abilities.
I guess the first question I have is, what is her having being a Black lesbian have to do with anything, Bill?
It has everything to do with everything, Rich. That is all that she has to her. She's one of these people who, as you pointed out, is not the sharpest. She's not great at what her career is, right? And so her whole personality, her whole being, is basically just these immutable traits that she has elevated to the highest importance. You could also argue that probably checked plenty of boxes in the short list of interviews to try to decide who was going to be the Biden press secretary. I think that's probably not too untoward of me to say, because I think that most people probably suspect that. But yeah, it's insane how much she falls back on this, right? He said, is there anything you would change or anything you want to say about your performance as press secretary? And she says, I'm a gay Black woman.
Right.
It's like, oh, okay, well, that settles that. Thank you. You made news there, Corrine. You're breaking new ground.
She also told us that we were liars. These were deep fakes about Joe Biden. Everything else that she said year after year after year. I mean, not year after year, but I guess it was kind of year after year because this has been going on for a while. But she stood at the White House podium and not only lied, but accused us of lying, accused us of manipulating videos, which nobody ever did. Like the video of him shaking hands with the invisible paratrooper, that she at one point said that was a deep fake. And by saying that, the implication, of course, is that somebody had edited that. And she'd said other videos were edited. Nobody ever edited these things. They were all real. But she stood up there and lied about all that. What I also find about this book tour, which is interesting, Bill DeAgostino, Media Research Center, is that now the media is trying to hold her accountable now, but they never did then. You know what I mean? She'll go on MSNBC and they'll be like, well, are you going to apologize? Well, why aren't you apologizing? Because you allowed her to lie to the American people day in after day out. And by the way, joined in on it, where you had people on your network like Joe Scarborough saying this is the best version of Joe Biden that there ever was. And F you if you don't believe it. F you if you don't believe it.
Right, exactly. No, this is why I think she's been combative with them when she goes on these shows, because she senses that they're all throwing her under the bus in this, right? They're throwing the Biden administration, anybody who still identifies themselves openly as like, yes, I was a Biden person, like anybody who's dumb enough to do that proudly at this point gets thrown under the bus as basically being part of the cover up. And I am so glad we're past that exhausting, infuriating news cycle where everybody in the media was clutching at their pearls and gasping and saying, oh, my gosh, he is senile. How could they have hidden this from us? And it was, yep. Like, what do you mean us? You're part of the they. Like, get back on your side, buddy. And this is, I mean, yeah, this is just more of that. It is kind of remarkable, though, that she is so unpolished, even in doing a book tour, but also that she is still defending Biden, like, really aggressively. It's like nobody told her, hey, you don't actually have to, like, lie as easily as you breathe now that you're not the press secretary anymore, now that you're not trying to hide the president's senility from the world, now that you're not trying to pretend that an auto pen isn't basically in charge of policy. You can tell the truth. You can make this a tell-all, right? If anything, that would get her a bunch of plaudits and a bunch of headpats and attaboys from, or attagirls, whatever, from her former colleagues in the media. But she still just goes on and deflects and defends in her incredibly clumsy way. I don't know if she thinks that she's defending herself in that regard, or if she thinks she's defending Biden. Because if she's doing it to defend herself, like, just tell the truth. Just be like, yeah, they made me do all of that. I would have lost my job if I hadn't lied. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, and people would go, all right, well, that was your job. You were the press secretary. That was your job. All right, fine. But she's doubling down. I mean, she's doubling down on saying that Biden was fine. She never saw it, which makes her just sound like an idiot. I mean, it really does. It makes her sound like an idiot.
There's no reward. There's nothing in it for her to do that anymore. And so I don't get, like, is she expecting the powerful Biden political dynasty to, like, come back to power and reward her for her loyalty? Because I'm telling you right now, Kareem, that's not happening.
Maybe she's hoping that Hunter Biden is going to marry her. But then again, she did point out that she's a black lesbian, so I don't think that's it. So I don't really know what the game is here, Bill. I can't figure it out. Margaret Brennan argued with Democrat Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. He's another dope. I'm sorry, but I mean, this guy is terrible at this. He's boring. He just has... no wonder why they're losing at everything. I mean, this is their minority leader. Cut 45.
I want to ask you about something you said. You said Democrats, there are no election deniers on our side of the aisle. You said that back in January. But recently, you've been using the term rigged elections in reference to the upcoming midterms. Democrats were appalled when President Trump used language like that. How do you justify using that now? Doesn't that undermine faith for voters? You need to show up.
No, I've been using that term in the context of Donald Trump's unprecedented effort to gerrymander congressional maps in a partisan fashion all across the country in order to rig the midterm elections and deny the ability of the American people to actually decide who should be in the majority as it relates to the House of Representatives.
You know, Democrats are also going through gerrymandering and redistricting.
No. Well, Democrats are going to push back aggressively to make sure that we have fair maps across the country, not partisan gerrymandering, which Republicans have initiated in state after state after state.
Bill DeAgostino, could you help me understand that and translate that for me?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's suggesting that this is like the first time any party has ever gerrymandered and that Republicans are just coming out of the gate swinging for no reason. And the poor sleeping Democrats were caught unawares and they said, oh, my gosh. And so now they have to stand up for democracy and stop the partisan gerrymandering by doing more partisan gerrymandering, I guess. Although what's funny is all of those headlines that we saw back when this little fight started of people in The New York Times, Washington Post, et cetera, all basically admitting with depression that, oh, okay, Democrats actually don't have much more gerrymandering that they can do because all of their states are already so contorted and twisted into these bizarre shapes. So they've already basically reached full gerrymander saturation, and Republicans are just catching up now, which is why Republicans stand to gain a lot more from this than Democrats do. But as far as Brennan pushing back on him going goes, rather, that was, it was good, right? It was fine. It's not like she was aggressive. It's not like she was taking Republican side. It felt like a normal, not softball interview that you would expect from a reporter. The media, however, and the left in general are furious about this, and they're like, they're horrified. And they're all suspecting that Margaret Brennan is on the chopping block. I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know that CBS has laid off about like 100 employees, or they're going to lay off about 100 news specifically employees as part of Barry Weiss's new initiative, probably trimming the fat mostly. I know that Paramount's also just trying to cut costs. But yeah, I mean, I do wonder if maybe Barry Weiss coming in has something to do with the fact that we actually saw Margaret Brennan trying to hold her own against Hakeem Jeffries, which not the hardest thing to do in the world, but it's probably hard to force yourself to do that if you're Margaret Brennan.
By the way, I found the enchilada skit from Saturday Night Live from 12 years ago. So Jimmy Smits was in it, and this is back when what's the name of the actor who killed himself on Saturday Night Live, who was hysterical? Gosh, I can't remember his name, but who was the actor? Do you remember the comedian?
I don't know.
Yeah. And we also found it was the Bensonhurst Spelling Bee, and it wasn't Drea DiMatteo. It was Lorraine Bracco who's in it, along with Paulie Walnuts. So, Matt, do you have them? Which one do you... Why don't we do the Bensonhurst Spelling Bee, a little bit of that first? Can we play a little bit of that?
Yeah. Give me that.
All right, go ahead.
The final round of the Bensonhurst Italian Spelling Bee. In just a few minutes, one of these little scongeels will be king of the neighborhood. Oh, queen.
Monarch, if you should be so lucky to win, your prize is going to be a beautiful meatball parmesan from the Spumoni Gardens.
Michael, you're up.
Why is he wearing a tracksuit? He's wearing a big chain.
Shh. Your word is mozzadel.
Mozzadel. Can you use in a sentence, please?
Jimmy, can you put some more mozzadel on my pizza before I smack you?
Mozzadel. M-U-T-Z-A-D-E-L. What's it, L?
That's correct.
That was wrong.
That's how Italians spell mozzarella.
That's not even how Italians say it. It's mozzarella.
Anthony, please step forward.
Your word is rajut.
What?
Can I have the origin of the word?
The origin of the word is from Borough Park in Brooklyn.
Rajut.
I think that man's trying to say prosciutto.
A-Z-O-O-T. Prosciutto.
That's correct.
Oh, it's funny. It's definitely worth a watch. No doubt about that. And then the Saturday Night Live. What's that?
The Italian guy getting frustrated, and I think he's trying to spell prosciutto. That's perfect, right? Because I imagine Italian people watching The Sopranos sometimes and just pulling their hair out and thinking to themselves, there's no way that like American Italians actually talk like that. But yeah, no, it's definitely a thing.
My mother had told me for the longest time that my grandfather came from a town called Gaivano. And when we went to Italy on our honeymoon, I went to the town, but it's Caivano, and that's how they say it over there, Caivano. And so I was asking for Gaivano, and they had no idea what I was talking about. They finally said Caivano, and they understood it. So I went back, and I said to my mother, I said, I went to Grandpa's town. I went to Caivano. She said, it's Gaivano. I said, no, it's not. But the Italian-Americans take the C, and they turn it into a G. And said, my mother's lecturing me how they got it wrong over in Italy. I'm like, Mom, I'm pretty sure that they know the name of the town in their country. Like, I'm kind of sure about that, you know?
It was an unknowable truth that was revealed to the few that landed in Staten Island. That was when lightning struck, and they all realized it's actually a G. Now, that blew my mind. I was trying to figure out what word they were saying the first time I watched The Sopranos, when they would always talk about their gumars. Right? I was like, what is that? That's a disgusting sound that you're... Like, what is that word? And it's apparently in Italian, it's comare. But yeah, that turned into gumar.
Or gumad. Or gumad, which is even better, in my opinion, you know, because you're just adding a D and like, you're making up letters.
Yeah, where did the D come from? Yeah, no, it's, ugh. especially because
Fridays
it's like
for you, the gumads and Saturdays for the wives, you know. Right. Here, so the enchilada skit from Saturday Night Live, it actually takes place at NBC News, so they're definitely mocking the media and their use of accents. And here, let's take a listen to it.
Now is over, but for the people of Nicaragua, that is small consolation. This is Robin Fletcher for NBC News reporting from Managua, Nicaragua.
What do you think?
Well, it's a nice report, but is this the week to cover Nicaragua?
Well, I think Nicaragua is important. And not just Nicaragua, but also Honduras, and especially El Salvador.
But wasn't the big story the defeat of Ortega and the fall of the Sandinistas?
Excuse me, everybody. I'd like you to meet our new economics correspondent, Antonio Mendoza.
Well, or Antonio Mendoza.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you, Antonio.
I'm sorry, is it Mendoza or Mendoza?
Mendoza, just Mendoza.
Oh, all right, okay.
Well, Antonio, Kathy here was just talking about our coverage of Nicaragua.
Yeah, well, I think that the economic development in that region is going to be a real big story.
Yes.
Especially now that they don't have to worry about the Contras.
Yeah.
Oh,
Antonio.
Food delivery?
He's
doing it great. Right here. Okay.
Antonio, please feel free. We always order too much food.
No, thank you. Thanks very much.
Okay. All right. Who had the enchiladas? Okay. We also have a combination bean burrito and chili con carne.
Well, I had a burrito and huevos rancheros.
Oh, there's no huevos. They must have screwed up.
Antonio, you're welcome to have my chili con carne.
No, thanks. Say, you guys really like Latino food, huh?
Well, you know, I grew up in Los Angeles.
Thanks, yeah, Matt. By the way, it was Phil Hartman, and it was his wife who killed him. And David Spade's in that clip as well, along with Jimmy Smith and some other people. So that must have been made in probably the 80s or early 90s, that clip, back when the show was funny. And, you know, they're mocking it, and I'm glad to see it come full circle with Bill D'Agostino mocking it and putting together this montage. So,
well, yeah, it's weird, right? Because they're doing it like in this very exaggerated way, but specifically Rosa Flores at CNN. It's like they're actually dead on. Like it's truly that aggressive. It's crazy how an SNL skit has basically aged into being boilerplate news coverage just 30, 40 years later.
That's amazing.
That says something. I don't know what, but it's probably why I have a job. I'll put it that way.
And it's from 1990, and Mike Myers and Dana Carvey are also in the clip. So there you go. Bill, excellent appearance today. Well done. And it was a lot of fun. Follow Bill on X at @band_Bill. We'll talk to you next week, brother. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. Good to see you.
And we'll be there Friday for our live show. So come out and join us in person for that this Friday at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, grandhotelcapemay.com. Dr. Mike Venere, a great friend, great guy, my dentist and the undisputed master of dental implants. So the reason why my family goes to him is because for 12 years in a row, other dentists have sent their patients to Dr. Mike. That's right. When the really complicated stuff, they send their patients to Dr. Mike Venere. He is known as the expert among other dentists, and that's why I trust him, and you should trust him too. Just go to VeneriaDental.com and make your appointment. Look, there are a lot of these pop-up chain dental offices out there. You don't want to go to those. You want to go see Dr. Mike, because what he cares about is your care and compassion, and that's what separates him from everybody else out there. It's that. And the other thing, too, about Dr. Mike Venere is that he is a great guy, great conversationalist. There's great music playing in the office, and all the people that work there are fantastic, and they're all dedicated to your health. So if you need something complicated, like let's say you need an implant or crowns or caps or anything like that, make sure you go see Dr. Mike Venere, my dentist, my guy. All right. Mama's Yoli discovered him for our whole family, and I'm so glad she did, because Bridget got a beautiful smile upgrade from Dr. Mike not too long ago when her veneers needed to be replaced, and she got beautiful new caps. So he's definitely worth going to, and you'll get a free implant consultation. So forget the chain dental offices and go to the guy that the other dentists send their patients to, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I have some sad news. Let's cut the music. I have some sad music to report. Two broadcast legends in Philadelphia. When they say death comes in threes, right? So I don't know who the third one will be, but Pierre Robert, WMMR, passed away. And longtime morning drive and sports anchor Harry Donahue, KYW, passed away. So, oof, terrible. Very sad. And both of those deaths just were broke. They broke on social media a short time ago, actually, while I was talking to Bill. But KYW posting, KYW News Radio learned of the passing of longtime morning drive and sports anchor Harry Donahue on Wednesday, October 29th at 77 years old. Harry was an iconic broadcast voice in the city for decades and a Hall of Fame sports broadcaster. And WMMR tweeting out that, if I could find it here, let's see. So I don't know who the third's going to be, but death's coming three. So we got to lose probably another legend. We're heartbroken to share the passing of our dear friend and legendary voice, Pierre Robert. You'll be missed beyond words. WMMR putting that out a short time ago. So sad news for Philadelphia radio. On a happy note, though, it is Chris Eppolito's birthday. So, Chris, your birthday will be synonymous with the passing of Philadelphia radio legends. Hopefully there's not a third this week. But, you know, as the Italian superstitious guy in me, that's kind of how I think about these things. But rest in peace to both of them and prayers to their families. Very sad. Very sad news. I don't know if there's any details on Pierre Robert's deaths or Harry Donahue. I don't know if they have said exactly what the causes were or anything like that. But I just saw them. And then during the break, pulled up the stories. Just trying to see, they haven't really said exactly what, but I know that Harry Donahue was at the station's 60th anniversary for KYW and called himself the luckiest fan in the world as someone born and raised in Philadelphia's only neighborhood. Who gets a chance to cover these types of teams, these types of individuals in the city where he grew up? He said that night that was a special part for me. Matt, see if you can, I don't know if they said what the cause of death was on either of these guys, but if you could check for me, that'd be great. Yeah, seriously, careful driving tonight. no kidding, right? All right, so a couple other things to get to. We have actually a lot to get to, but Joe Biden's back to deliver an angry call to action for Democrats. Biden speaking from the Edward M. Kennedy Institute. It's amazing you name an institute after a guy who killed a girl and got away with it, but there we are. So here's Biden, cut 17 from yesterday. And again, it's, you know, the same, just like his hell-soaked speech in Philadelphia that he gave, just angry and angry and angry. Cut 17.
My over 50 years in elected public life, this is the worst I've seen it. It's time to get reengaged. God. It's time to act, to fight like hell. This is no time to give up. It's time to get up. Get up now. Get up.
You gave up. Just saying, you gave up. You dropped out of the race. Just pointing it out. Just saying. Adam Schiff, who received a pardon from Joe Biden on his way out. Joe Biden's auto pen, I should say. The auto pen. Or maybe that was one of the ones he signed personally. I forget. I lose track of these things. Pardon me. Adam Schiff, who received a pardon and took a pardon, now hates pardons. Cut 18.
And it's illustrative of the same message Donald Trump continues to send donors and friends. If you've got enough money or the right political connections, the law simply doesn't apply to you. In case after case after case, the message has been clear. Loyalty to Donald Trump is more important than the rule of law. It is more important than anything in the public interest. This is not what the framers intended when they gave the president the authority to grant clemency. And they certainly never envisioned it as a get-out-of-jail-free card for political allies, campaign donors, and business partners. But this administration has turned the pardon power into a tool for corruption and self-dealing.
So you should give yours back, maybe as like a show of solidarity or something like that. I'm just saying. Let's cue up cut 42. Don Lemon of CNN, Don Lemon, he says Megyn Kelly's not hot. And also this, and, you know, the thing about this is that if I were to say this about somebody who's a woman, I would probably get in a lot of trouble, probably get canceled. But I guess Don Lemon's okay to say it, I guess. I guess for him, it's all right. I mean, he's not trans, but I guess it's okay for him to use that as a pejorative for somebody. Cut 42.
Is Megyn Kelly chopped?
I don't know what that means. I don't know what is chopped. I've heard it, but I don't know what that means. What does chopped mean?
She's going to get mad at me, dude. I don't know if I want this heat.
What does chopped mean?
Chopped means, like, not hot.
Yeah, she's chopped. I don't know. The whole MAGA look.
It's all the MAGA ladies.
Too much.
Kind of looks like a Barbie doll covered in, like, WD-40.
I think she looks trans.
Let's end on that note.
She looks clockable.
Okay, then.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Zoran Mamdani, who is a horrible human being. Let's cue up cut 23. This tying the NYPD to the IDF. And speaking of Scott Jennings, he posted something on X earlier today. He said, "I don't know who this guy hates more, Jews or cops." It's a great question. It really is. And it's very clear in this statement that he made back in 2023 at the Democratic Socialists of America National Convention. This is the Democrat Party. This is who they are. He's about to become mayor of New York City, barring some cataclysmic change. He is the Democrat nominee, and he made these comments at the Democrat Socialist of America annual convention. Cut 23.
You know, I think in the first question, there was this setting up of a context where this idea of hyper-local and international. And I think that for anyone to care about these issues, we have to make them hyper-local. We have to make clear that when the boot of the NYPD is on your neck, it's been laced by the IDF. Right? We have to make, not specifically that example all the time, but just to say that for working class people who have very little time, who have so many stresses, who are under so many pressures, there isn't that much time for symbolism. We have to make it materially connected to their life. And I think that what opportunity we have is that we are in a country where those connections abound, especially in New York City. You have so many opportunities to make clear the ways in which that struggle over there is tied to capital's interest over here.
President Trump just posted on Truth Social a short time ago, Virginia and New Jersey, vote Republican if you want massive energy costs and crime reductions. The Democrats will double and even triple your energy costs and crime will be rampant. A vote for the Democrats is a death wish vote Republicans. Is a death wish vote Republican. So there you go, President Trump doubling down, a lot of caps in there, and coming out and saying, you know, vote for Winston Merle Sears, making it very clear, and vote for Jack Cittarelli. He put pictures of both of them in the Truth Social post. There's a picture of Jack and a picture of Winston Merle Sears in that. Good. Excellent. And there you go. So the numbers out of Gloucester County, just got my update, tied in the get out the vote numbers or the early in-person voting numbers for today. So that's good. Excellent. There's an amazing thing too that I wanted to bring up too, which is some of the freaking craziness that's said by the left, but one of the great now conspiracies that's going out there is about, you know, the ballroom again, with the outrage over the ballroom and all this nonsense. So Chuck Schumer, this cube cut number 12, is spreading this renovation hoax, taking Caroline Leavitt's commentary out of context, completely out of context with this, and running with this lie. This is video number one about what he's saying here. So let's play cut 12. Go ahead.
Know him. $300 million for his ballroom. In fact, his ballroom says that is his main priority. Can you believe that? You can't make this stuff up.
Now, here's cut 13, White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt from the briefing saying that the ballroom is President Trump's top priority in terms of White House renovation projects. Cut 13.
Go ahead.
Good night.
Yes.
Thank you, Caroline.
Thank you.
In addition to the ballroom and the Rose Garden patio.
I'm going into the back. Sorry. Go ahead.
In addition to the ballroom and the Rose Garden patio, is the president looking at any other renovations or significant kind of projects here at the White House?
Not to my knowledge, no. But he's a builder at heart, clearly. And so his heart and his mind is always churning about how to improve things here on the White House grounds. But at this moment in time, of course, the ballroom is really the president's main priority. Kristen.
Okay, so you see, the ballroom is the main priority for renovation projects. It's like the main priority for my house right now is the kids' bathroom for renovation projects. Not the main priority of my life. Just to kind of put in context. Here's Tim Walz, cut number 11, parroting the same debunked lie about what Caroline Leavitt said. Take a listen.
They are choosing not to fund these programs. They are choosing to prioritize. And when the White House press secretary said the top priority is the ballroom, we could not disagree more.
In addition to the ballroom and the Rose Garden patio, is the president looking at any other renovations or significant kind of projects here at the White House?
Not to my knowledge, no. But he's a builder at heart, clearly. And so his heart and his mind is always churning about how to improve things here on the White House grounds. But at this moment in time, of course, the ballroom is really the president's main priority.
And Jasmine Crockett, cut number 10, also running the debunked Trump's top priority is the ballroom hoax. This is the latest hoax now to come out of these people, but gets debunked by CNN's Caitlin Collins. Good for her. Maybe calling back to her days as when she was actually on the right, or at least pretended to be anyway. Cut number 10.
They are choosing not to fund these programs. They are choosing to prioritize. And when the White House press secretary said the top priority is the ballroom, we could not disagree more.
In addition to the ballroom and the Rose Garden patio, is the president looking at any other renovations or significant?
I think this cut 10, guys. Cut, John, cut,
knowledge,
cut
no,
number 10. I think. Is this cut 10, Jasmine Crockett?
Yeah, that was cut 10. That was cut 10.
Okay. All right. Maybe it's not labeled correctly. I'm not sure about that one, but it's all right. It's okay. She also gets Jasmine Crockett gets going with the same lie here. So she at least set him straight on that. You have 10, Matt. All right. Can you play it? Go ahead.
Congress comes to an agreement here.
I have no idea. I mean, you started off talking about the fact that the president is in Japan. The president has time to do everything but what he needs to focus on. In fact, we heard the press secretary say that his main priority is the ballroom that no one asked for, the ballroom that requires him to destroy historic pieces of the White House. And so it doesn't seem like he's interested.
And that context of the comment from Caroline Leavitt, she was asked if the president was working on any other renovations when it came to the White House. And she was saying his focus was the ballroom. But to your point about what the president said.
There you go. The focus of renovations was the ballroom. All right. Big fourth and final hour straight ahead. I got a lot for you, so don't go anywhere. Make sure you join us in Cape May on Friday. OK, we're going to be there for our live show, our Halloween spectacular show. It's going to be fantastic. And Dr. Mike Venaria, the sponsor of the story this hour, go see him today for your perfect smile. He's a great guy, great friend. And for 12 years in a row, the dentist that other dentists send for the complicated, very, very important procedures. All right. So make sure you do that today. VenariaDental.com. Fourth and final hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland, wherever you get your podcasts.